man. Hey, is that Satan song you previewed at Rolling Loud, is that going to be on it?
Yeah.
That's going to be on it?
Yeah.
That's dope, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you mean by that lyric, man? You make a city girl believe in Satan. What do you mean by that?
Not actually Satan, but just basically I make a girl do whatever I say so.
That's right. Yeah. What did JT think of those lyrics?
She really didn't think too much of it. She was there when she heard me make the song. She knows what I really mean.
So it's not really about Satan?
No.
Do you believe in Satan?
No.
That's hilarious, man. Hey, how do you...
Alright, so there's two things wrong with this, alright? For one, okay, everybody's wearing black, and he contradicts himself right here. Alright, now, if you 30 years old and you listen to stuff like this... I just wanna rock. Body out of ya. Yeah, you gotta do some reevaluating, because if he's telling you he can make people do whatever he wants them to do, okay, what do you think that is?
Yeah, it's hypnosis.
All right, peace, y'all. Peace. So a lot of you guys on Patreon have been asking me to speak about Lil Uzi, and I figured I'd do a video on his career and how he basically started off from this and turned into this. All right, so yeah, we're going to get into the video. So, Samir Woods was born July 31st, 1995, in the Francisville part of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He had a normal but rebellious childhood, being that he was the only child of the family. Now, in 2005, when he was 10 years old, I feel old, he became fascinated with music and began listening to hip-hop. At the age of 13, he started listening to more darker influenced music like Marilyn Manson, Smash Mouth, All American Rejects.
Thank you, Elijah.
Ha! Elijah, man. Elijah, like, he turned me to like a rock star, kinda. Elijah's cool.
So he was the GG guy?
He was more of the My Chemical Romance guy. He was fire, though. Like, Elijah, my homie, he in Philly, too. He put me on skateboarding and everything, real young. Shout out Elijah, man.
In 2010, by the time he was 15, he started writing his own raps and was heavily influenced by Meek Mill and Wiz Khalifa. Now, he and some friends from school that he was attending to at the time created a group and called themselves State Town. And he actually shot a video for their only song, State Town Anthem. Now, this actually gave him the abilities to get used to performing in the public. All right, at this time, Uzi would actually be breakdancing in the streets of Philly, all right, to earn money for himself. Now, the following year, he dropped out of high school and began to take music more seriously. He would pick up a job at a dollar store called Bottom Dollar, but got fired 4 days after and was kicked out on the streets by his moms. In 2011, up until 2013, he actually was struggling financially, you know what I'm saying, sleeping from couch to couch and working small-time jobs to take care of himself. But at the age of 18 is when he met with now-famous producer Charlie Heat. Now, the producer Charlie Heat, he used to make beats for Space Ghost Perp and all of these guys. Charlie Heat, you know, would use his connections and began helping Uzi work on his mixtape, Purple Thoughts, Volume 1. Now, at this time is when he became friends with, you know, in my opinion, you know, the Dark Side, and changed his name from C-Lab Vert to Lil Uzi Vert. All right, now, I'm going to give Daylight the credit, because he brought out the time when, you know, Lil Uzi Vert meant Lucifer.
This nigga Lil Uzi Vert is the devil, bruh. He the devil, bruh. It just fucking hit me. Yo, if you say his name really fast, do this favor. Do me a favor. Say his name extremely fast, and then ask me, what is it? Lil Uzi Vert, Lucifer. Bruh!
Now, I'm going to play this snippet from his first mixtape, right? And I just want y'all to listen to the first words he says starting on this song.
Everybody know Lil Uzi, get that nigga in the sun. Throw them devil horns up, let you know I'm in the sun.
In the sun, throw them devil horns up, let you know I'm in the sun. Got a...
Now, in my opinion, Charlie Heat was no stranger to this type of stuff, alright? Just being that he was, you know, he played on the drum line at Clark Atlanta University, alright? So he was familiar with fraternities and all of that stuff, so he knew, alright? Now, it's possible, you know, he showed Uzi the ropes and all of that stuff, and him, you know, listening to heavy metal at a young age, you know, he was pretty much already down with the program anyway, right? But the following year, which was 2014, is when his mixtape Purple Thoughts was actually released, all right? Now, look at this artwork right here, right? This is what I'm saying. He's got demons on the front of this mess, like, you know, so somebody had put him on game, all right, to this type of behavior, all right? Now, I'm going to show y'all this clip of how he actually met with DJ Don Cannon, producer Don Cannon.
Stuff, so to hear him say that was a brilliant name meant everything to us. You know?
So y'all had Uzi before his big hit or
yes.
Before?
Yes, so Uzi didn't have anything.
So what's that like, Joe? This is like just building. I'm not talking about just being in the studio, but like just behind the scenes that, you know, just the average listener wouldn't think about happening that happened. You
know what I'm saying? It's easy, actually. I'm not saying wanted to help us, but we weren't helped. We were building our own. So we wanted to pass that on. Like, we feel like it's a lot of talent out here that we want to help see through. You know what I mean? And that's where it happened. We were once those people. That's why it was easy to make that transition into helping somebody like a Uzi or a Jack. You know, we were just talking about what's better to find an artist on social media or, you know, or on the internet or YouTube. None of our artists came from none of that. We all found them like diamonds in the rough. And I think that's our patented maneuver in the wrestling ring, is that we just find people that didn't have those outlets as of yet, and we made them superstars.
Now, I'm going to be honest, you know, with him hooking up with Charlie Heat, you know, he had gotten notoriety through DJ Diamond Cuts, right? So that kind of like gave him a buzz locally, all right? So now, with him, you know, and mind you, the music that he was releasing early on wasn't really that good, in my opinion, right? But, you know, I've never really heard of an industry person wanting to sign an artist, you know, so bad without any music out. It's kind of like, you know, industry playing this shit, if you ask me. All right, but maybe there was some nepotism involved. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Not to mention that his girlfriend then at the time, Brittany Byrd, was actually into astrology. All right. Maybe she introduced him to the occult. Who knows? All right. But she did an article with the magazine paper where she explains. The interviewer asks, "You have 333, which seems to be a recurring motive for you. Tatted on your hand. What does it mean?" "I would see it all the time my first year of college. Everywhere I went, I kept seeing that number. License plates, clocks. I started getting into numerology and put together all the pieces. I was born in March. My birthday is the 23rd. I did my research and learned that 33 is a master number. It confirms that you're on the right path to ascension. Whenever I was in doubt, I would see it. And it keep me motivated. This random night in New York City, I decided to get it tatted." Now, you know, like I said, if you guys have practiced numerology, you know what I'm saying? I don't have nothing against that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to show y'all this clip about what he said in his Nardwuar interview right here. Now, what I'm going to say is this, right? You know, these people that are in high places, like I said, everything is connected, right? It's all connected. You got to have some type of knowledge of this stuff, you know, and they don't hide it. They put it out there for people to, you know, to do this stuff. But now with a machine behind him, he was, you know, he was more able to be more creative and make more secular rap, right? He slowed down more on occultic themes and catered to more of his demographic, you know what I'm saying, with songs like Money Longer, All My Chains, you know, and Super Saiyan Trunks, right? Now, when he did this, his buzz became even more bigger in Philly, all right? He became even more bigger almost to the point where, you know, he had worldwide success on SoundCloud, all right? Now, the deeper, we all know, the deeper he got involved in the music industry, all right, the more darker he became.
Did I sell my soul? I sold my soul for you. Now, figure that out. Tell me that I sell my soul. I sold my soul for you. For all you motherfuckers that's on here that's asking me, did I sell my soul? Why the fuck is y'all on here if y'all think I sold my soul? Y'all coming right with me, you dummies.
Let me explain something to them real quick. Before everybody starts screaming and saying, oh, like I told y'all earlier, you motherfuckers entered the rapture. And if ain't nobody flying up to heaven right now, obviously all y'all motherfuckers going to hell right with me. So let's get it. Oh, you already here. I'm so sorry. You can't get out. You're stuck. It's over. You heard the song a million times and you didn't even know. That's f***ed up, but I still love.
Man, what artist would you not let into your house right now?
Probably Uzi Vert, because he.
And why Uzi Vert?
Because he the devil.
All y'all went upside down cross. Even my little partners, man. Stop that shit, boy. You look lame. All that worship the devil shit. Get with God, man.
Ain't gonna get you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just gonna say this, right? This is a prime example of an individual selling his soul and not regretting it, all right? Y'all remember this post that he put on Instagram, right? Giving praise to Baphomet, all right? Not to mention, you know, a year before he turned 27, all right, he was caught up in some legal issues and sentenced to a program for a year, all right? Now, immediately after his release, all right, he took some pictures on the desert wearing a Rockefeller chain. Now, y'all know, if y'all been here before, y'all know what I be talking about with the deserts and all that, right? So, you know, like I said, these people got to renegotiate every now and then.
And when I was 12 years old, I signed a deal with Satan in my room, and
CBS doesn't condone this in any way.
Because I wanted to get famous no matter what, and, you know, then I forgot that I had this deal with Satan and everything, and then I got really famous, and then one day I, like, had this tragic singing accident.
I
realized then that Satan was coming for my soul, so, yeah, he wanted me to pay up, so I asked him to, you know, give me a refinance on my soul thing, and so that works out. It has a happy ending.
All right, but check out what he says about the latest song that he has out.
I just want to rock, body yada yada. It's in my brain. Do you know that it's living rent free? I can't get it out. You did that.
Yeah, it's hypnosis. Yeah, it's hypnosis.
Now, a lot of y'all ask me about the album artwork, all right? And I'm going to just be honest with you. This ain't nothing, it ain't nothing crazy or subliminal. Just the fact that, you know, he's showing his love for Baphomet and, you know, he's pushing the androgynous behavior. You know, this is how they want America to be. So they put a lot of this stuff on the forefront. You know, you watch a commercial, that stuff comes on. So, you know, it's going to be... You know, the America's gonna be a freak show, and this is what this is a representation of. All right, whenever you see Marilyn Manson, okay, just believe that Satanism is around. Okay, trust me and believe that Satanism is somewhere around. Whenever you see Marilyn Manson hanging out with a rapper, all right, you know, this guy's a straight up Luciferian, right? So. You know, we can't ignore that. All right, now, I'm just going to be honest with you. This is just my conclusion to all of this, right? you don't gotta tell me that, you know, you putting hypnotism in your music and, you know, oh, well, you heard the song a million times, you know what I'm saying? You're going to hell right along with me. Nah, you ain't got to tell me that for me not to listen to your music, but to each his own, right? But I just want to point this out, man. You guys out there, for the younger generation, I ain't talking to people 25 and older, but for the younger generation, and you happen to see this video, all right, the occult is no joke, okay? The deeper in you get, okay, these people turn into weirdos, all right? It's just like you start off doing some magic stuff, and then next thing you know, you're messing with certain spirits, and it gets weird, man. And a lot of these people in the industry, they get down with this stuff. This is why they change. They become possessed by whatever entity, okay, they are, you know, worshiping, okay? And, you know, he's got a demon on his back, tattooed on his back. I mean, what else do you gotta, you know what I'm saying? These people are all devil worshippers. You know what I'm saying? Not all of them, but the most part, okay? So with that being said, I hope I broke this video down for you guys clearly. And, you know, just be careful what you listen to out there, man. Be careful what you let your kids listen to. You know, all of this stuff is poison, okay? It's poison, all right? Horrible vibrations, all right? Peace.
Do you suffer with acne and have tried everything to get rid of it? Try D-Dara. D-Dara is an organic skincare product that is not harmful to the skin but has been proven to clear acne in 2 weeks. D-Dara clears cystic acne, blackheads, dark spots, hyperpigmentation, and eczema. Shop now at ddara.us.